Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Yeah! All right, our beloved friends. We are halfway home on a Thursday. It's December 12th. Just, what do we got? We got six more shows after today.
Six and a half remaining.
And we are out of here for the new year. And for the holidays, and then back in the new year, I'm excited to get through it. You know, I am, and I'm really excited for the Christmas and holiday extravaganza that's coming next Friday. Make sure you are by the dial, unless you hate fun, laughter, friendship. If you hate all those things, it's not the show for you.
So I shouldn't bother.
I mean, you're really mostly only here in spirit anyway. I mean, Paulie and I do most of the heavy lifting here. You are mostly the whipping boy.
It's not my big day. I know that.
It's not your big day. Someday, maybe it will be after, 7 years together. Maybe we'll see some input.
Maybe not.
Maybe you don't like my input. That's the problem.
It's a catch-22 for me, because I want his input, but I don't like his ideas. And that's the tough part for me. Something I have to reconcile.
You do have to reconcile myself. That.
I do. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. Ben Higgins.
My contribution is going along with your contributions without major pushback most of the time.
Without major pushback. I tried something last year. I wanted to do the meat wheel, and Adam wouldn't let me do the meat wheel. And I still...
You still want to do the meat wheel.
I still want to do the meat wheel. And where it you know those like torture devices where you get strapped onto a big wooden... My vision is... We strapped Ben, but it was Adam who I wanted to put in the meat wheel.
Oh, and no wonder it got denied.
Is that a Catherine wheel, like the band?
I think maybe. So you put him on the wheel, and you spin it around, and he's like all dizzy, and then we just throw meat at him. And I don't mean like hard ribeyes and stuff. I mean like just like little pieces of ham and stuff. Just
Cold cuts.
Salamis. Little thin slices. For some reason, the meat wheel makes me laugh.
You may be the only person, though. This is personal comedy.
I would also get on the meat wheel.
Still, again, you may be the only person laughing.
You don't think it's funny to spin me around and you guys throw ham at me?
Say, like, Letterman-esque. Like, something I think, Dave would think was funny.
Johnny says small balls of ground beef.
If that's the bar, Letterman funny, then I'd say
I'm
it's
in.
Pretty funny.
I'd say that's a pretty good bar to shoot for. Balsamic Vinny says the meat wheel's hilarious. I'll do the meat wheel. We have some ideas this year for meat. There's a meat segment, perhaps.
Meat segment.
Yeah.
Got something in the works?
Got something in the works. Yeah, I would really like to do the meat wheel, but it was kibosh. I got the kibosh from Adam last year. So, anyway, those are the kind
of... If you pitched it like that, you're going to be on the meat wheel, Adam. I can understand why.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you'd have to be in some sort of, like, Speedo / banana hammock.
Why?
It's because it's funnier.
That's funnier.
Yes.
Because you want the meat to stick. Because you're really hoping the meat sticks.
Yeah, I just think it's funny. I just think it's funny.
But I think ultimately the meat is just going to fall to the ground.
It doesn't matter.
It won't be as funny.
I think it's funny to have tier ones and us throw meat at people. I just think that's funny. I don't know why. I don't know why it's just been this like nagging vision in my head. Now, an idea, what you want to talk about right now, that's also something that we could potentially do.
Absolutely. Under no circumstances.
On the Christmas and holiday extravaganza.
Will we ever do this as a bit? In no way.
You wanted to involvement.
I will contribute, and I will not push back on many things. I would push back so hard on this to the point that I would probably quit before I participated in what I saw yesterday. So who was it? Joe Musgrove, Dylan Cease.
Brent Honeywell.
Brent Honeywell was there. And I assume, what were they in Vegas? Somewhere at a big event. And they had, they were at good seats, like second, third row. And it was, what do they call it? The slap fighting, the face slapping championship.
You brought this to the table. I have no idea. All I saw was a picture of four dudes being bros drinking Michelob Ultra at the bar. That's all
Joe,
I saw.
He said, Vegas, he did.
They call it
again.
Power slap. It's a competition where, basically, two people stand in front of each other and take turns open hand slapping each other on the face as hard as possible.
So I think they were at UFC. They went to UFC, and then I think that was like the opening. The opening band.
Unlike boxing, no headgear is allowed. Defenders cannot duck to avoid
blows. Oh, it's part of the UFC.
Blows. Okay. Even flinching is banned.
Oh, God!
Opponents are scored based on the amount of damage they inflict and how well they cope with getting slapped themselves.
Paulie just put one in the chat. And
That's the one? Joe's Instagram.
Oh, that's Joe. Okay. What's the powder that comes off the guy's hand?
They chalk up their hands or something.
For what?
So it's not all sweaty.
All right, slap me lightly.
No.
What if you slap?
I'm not going to do it.
Nobody's going to slap
you. I'm not going to do it.
Lightly.
So let me tell you this. Anytime you slap someone else, you're going to then have to be slapped back.
I'm not
going to
slap you, I promise.
I don't want to be slapped back.
I'm not going to. Oh, you son of a bitch. He hit me in the jaw.
Where was I supposed to
hit
you?
In the cheek.
I don't know how to do this.
He got me under the jawbone. And it was quick, and I wasn't expecting it.
You told me to do it.
God.
He did. Yeah, that was a weird slap.
Wow. Well, I can't even slap
myself without it like hurting badly. I am such a flincher, too. There's no way. Unless I was like strapped down and could not move, I would flinch. I'd be the worst. You could offer me $20 million and say, if you just take one of those slaps
without flinching,
we will give you $20 million right
there. It.
I would want to do it. I could not physically do it.
You would have to.
I'd flinch. If you flinch, you don't get the money. And I would not be able to hold still.
That dude
no
slaps
chance.
The fire out of that guy, man.
I mean, $20 million, yeah.
So I don't know.
It would be tough to not flinch.
Bro, you just close your eyes. You hold on to the thing and you close your eyes.
Do they close their eyes? I don't feel like they're closing their eyes in the actual competition.
Just close your eyes and go, this is going to suck for about 30 minutes. And then I'm $20 million richer.
Man. The guy takes it and then wags his finger.
Wags his finger.
At the other guy. It's, it's insane.
Dang, dude.
As you can imagine, this is a problematic sport. They worry about, you know, things like brain injury and concussions. CTE is definitely a concern.
That is
power slap.
Dana White, this was his deal. Adam says this was actually on TV. It was so bad, the ratings dipped that they took it off of TV. I can't watch. I can barely watch UFC, man.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough for me. I have a weak stomach. I really do. Is that okay? Let's analyze me for a sec. Hannah will walk in the room and go, "What are you watching?" And I go, "Fights. Fighting.
Fighting.
Like two kids in school fighting. You know,
like a YouTube video of
like
fighting.
It's, there's Twitter feeds. It's like best fights, and I'm addicted. And it'll be like, "What's up, dude? You did this to my girl."
Two
and
high school two kids guys that beat the crap.
Yeah. I can't get enough. I watch it for 45 minutes straight. Yeah. I just go next, next, next. You put a UFC fight on, I'm like, bruh, bruh. Like I don't know what's the difference
between that and power slap?
No, between those two versions of fighting. Like, I can't watch a UFC, but I can watch like a street fight that somebody catches on camera.
Seems like at least you know with the UFC, they're getting paid and they want to be there.
They signed up voluntarily.
Yeah.
Yeah. They voluntarily wanted to fight. I don't know what it is, but I can watch those all day long. But I put on a UFC fight. I think it's also, you know what else? It's the kicking. When they do the kick to shin, it makes my bunch just swell up, and I'm like, "Oh, I can't watch this." But you see some guy like, "What's up, dude?" Wham! And punch somebody, I'm all in.
Now, I promise you, if Joe Musgrove texts and says, "Hey, I got an extra seat. You want to come with me? Sit at the fight." You'd go with him.
I'm going to say this. I'll say this. If Joe Musgrove texted me to do anything, I'd probably say yes. That is the one thing, if he said, I got front row thing, the UFC. And it's not because I wouldn't want to go. It's because he would be like, "Geez, dude, you're kind of weak." Because I would be sitting there like, like I'd be a wreck.
I think it's fairly obvious that most of the professional athletes we cover would find us very unimpressive. They spent a lot of time with us.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's do the flip side of that coin. Come on in here. Jake Cronenworth, Joe Musgrove. Here's a mic. Get after it. Get out. We're so dumb. We don't know. We never played. Do this.
I think Jake could come in and do a halfway decent show
for
seven minutes. I mean, the first day would be a struggle.
Yeah,
but, give him some practice. Give him a couple reps. He'd be there.
JH619 says maybe reach out to some MMA fighters out here and take a leg kick.
No,
this is not Jackass.
We'll do that at the extravaganza.
This is not Jackass. That's one. That's something that would give me anxiety. My little skinny legs. Now you would be a perfect fit for a leg kick. I don't even think they'd. I don't even think they'd hurt you.
You know, the bigger they come, the harder they fall.
That's true.
It hurts.
But you have a lot more sinew.
I mean, if I like bang my shin on something, it's
still
utter agony.
Yeah. Dominic says Jake will come in. Shout out Michigan. Shout out Wolverines. Shout out everybody. Shout out my fiance Brooklyn. Yeah, he got 4 minutes in it. Yeah, those guys are bros, man. They went out and they did their thing and they went to the MMA fights and I more power to them. I think it's great. I think it's great for them. Good bonding experience, whatever. It's not for me.
That power slap, though, is
it is
gnarly.
Something, dude. Brandon says, if Musgrove asked me to go see Morgan Wallen, would I go? No, that's two things I probably wouldn't go to Joe Musgrove with. Nope.
Keep watching it on our YouTube stream.
Yeah, it is. It's really something, dude. Oh, God, he slaps the...
They have a catcher. So a guy stands behind the person who's about to get slapped. I'm assuming if you lose consciousness and just fall like straight to the ground, that he's supposed to catch you like a trust fall.
Yeah.
Like he's your trust fall guy. If you black out when you get slapped in the face, he's there to catch you as you fall.
Yeah.
That, I mean, any sport that needs someone to catch you if you fall unconscious is an extreme sport.
It's tough, dude. It's tough. I have a lot of respect for I did that boxing gym for a long time that I really liked, Art of Eight. And there was a professional kickboxer MMA guy that trained in there. I've never seen anything like it. Never. I've never seen anybody punch harder, kick, do all the be athletic. I have an ultimate amount of respect for them. I just can't watch it. It's just not something I can physically watch without getting nauseous.
Balsamic Vinny says, do that tortilla slap challenge.
What is that?
We saw it. We talked about it before where they take a tortilla and slap people in the face with it. And obviously, that's not going to do any, permanent damage. But that's the pain that I really hate—the sting, the stinging sensation, like of the actual slap Oh, I hate that. I hate that so much.
How many times have you been slapped in your life?
I don't accidentally just.
Accidentally?
I don't think I've ever been accidentally slapped.
Slapped before? Hannah's never got me. I don't think I've been slapped.
You with your mouth?
No.
You've never been slapped?
I've been punched, but I've never been slapped. Who slaps you? Like, some dude's not going to slap me,
no.
Right? Have you been slapped by a woman? Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Ben's like, I hate that feeling of being slapped.
You didn't make a crass comment and got slapped in the face?
Sure, I did.
Like a sitcom?
Apparently you have. It all comes out. Oh, I bet it doesn't feel good. I wouldn't know.
Gnarly. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we turn the clock back to June for our Ben and Woods Wrapped segment. And Bo Woods is going to make an appearance today.
Little angel.
This was actually one of the more fun moments we had in the year. Very impressive. We're also going to give away some tickets to James Taylor in concert. And then bottom of the hour, Eno Saris will join us to help wrap up baseball's winter meetings. Talk about the Padres maybe converting his favorite stuff guy, Adrian Morejon, to a starting pitcher. All that coming up after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to thank our Sammy Levitt again for his outstanding coverage the last few days. Not his fault that AJ Preller didn't make any major moves, but the coverage was top notch.
I don't even know that it's AJ Preller's fault that he didn't make any major moves either. You know, I don't know who to assign the blame to necessarily, but you are dead right. Sammy Levitt, show off MVP, man. Just killed it out there. Is he back?
I don't know if he flew back last night. My guess would be that if he wasn't going to be on today, Adam would want him to fly back to save a hotel night.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
So I'm assuming he came back.
Hey, can you rent a car, actually, and drive back? Can you catch a ride with
probably
someone?
Probably more expensive, actually, probably. At this point.
But, like, checkout was probably 10 a.m. yesterday. Sammy still had business.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about, too.
Can you bring your luggage down? They'll usually watch it behind the counter if you just leave it there.
I mean, it's just smart. It's smart business traveling to not pay for an extra hotel night if you don't need
it. Sammy's like, I can rent a locker. And he's like, can I get reimbursed? Fine.
Okay.
$3.
Adam playing blackjack is still one of my favorite bits of all time. Hit me. Double down.
Can I split those?
I just had a stroke. Hit me. Sammy crushed it out there. And now, you know, I look at that and the way that I'm wired, I go, well, we better bring the noise when we're out at fantasy camp because Sammy just crushed it. So, yeah, well done. He also didn't sound like he was at his best, man. He sounded like he was a little under the weather and still went out there and was
you
a part
travel,
of
travel, and yeah, then you dude, go in your, at indoor at a giant hotel and breathing that recirculated air for days.
It's just not.
No one's going to be at their best.
It's not as glamorous as you think it is being out at the Anatole for 72 hours and talking to a bunch of baseball nerds, man.
Speaking of great jobs, Paulie does a fantastic job in scouring through our entire year to come up with our Ben and Woods Wrapped at the end of the year. We go month by month, like, what were some of our favorite moments? We've hit the month of June. Rap. And in June, I believe, school year had ended, and you needed to bring...
Yeah.
They weren't in camps yet, so you needed to bring Bo by for at least a day.
Yep.
And he's an impressive young man.
He is.
There's no doubt about that. He's a passionate baseball fan.
Passionate sports fan.
And as knowledgeable, I think, as any six-year-old I've met about the San Diego Padres.
You know, I coach a lot of kids, and the first thing their dads always say to me about Bo and his ability on the field is they're like, bro, he is really, really good. And they said, well, how did you do it? And I go, two things. Number one, he wants it. So he wants to practice. So that's innate, whatever. Like, that's just in him. I said the other thing, and I'll tell this to every parent listening with young kids. If you want your kids to be good at a sport, it's not rocket science. Have them watch the sport. As much as they can do it, have them watch the sport. He watches full games with me, and he has since he was 3 years old. He lays right in the crook of my arm, and he asks questions, and he follows along. He loves Mud and Don and Jesse, and he loves the game of baseball because he watches it all the time. So that's really like the secret. Have your kids watch the game. It's the best way to learn.
So we put up Bo against a tier one in a little Padres trivia challenge, you know, player numbers and such, and I will assure you, this was absolutely fair. I did not tip the scales one way or another.
On his life, yeah.
100% legit.
This clip picks up right after we had the caller go first, kind of like take on Woods, and I think he got 5 or 6 out of the 8. And we were playing for Padres tickets. This wasn't for the Vegas qualifier. We had a pair of Padres tickets to give away to a game in June. And I believe the caller's name was Neil. And here's how Bo did against Neil.
So 6 is the number here. Let's see. Hang on the line there, Neil. We'll bring back the Woodses. The Woods or the Woodses?
I still don't know.
The Woods.
I still really
the Woods don't family
know.
Has returned. Get the headphones on Bo.
This mic,
Paulie? Yep. Get the microphone is all set up for him.
Say hi, Bo.
All right. So Neil's score is locked in. Now, Bo, again, just do the best you can with the same 10 questions. You ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Question number 1. What number does Manny Machado wear?
13.
Correct. Which Padres player wears lucky number 7?
Ha-Sung Kim.
Correct. Which Padres player wears the number 1?
Yuki Matsui.
Correct. Which Padres player wears the number 2?
Xander Bogaerts.
Correct. Which Padres player wears the number 3?
Jackson Miller.
Correct. Which number does pitcher Randy Vasquez wear?
Pass.
Which Padres catcher wears the number 20?
Kylie Gashue.
Correct. Of David Peralta or Fernando Tatis Jr., who wears the higher number?
David Peralta.
That is correct. Which Padres player wears the number 84?
Dylan Cease.
Correct. Which Padres player wears the same number Blake Snell wore last season?
Luis Rice.
Yes!
Wow! Bro, stop. He smoked Neil.
8-6. Bo is our champion. Neil, you know what? I don't want it. Let's give him the tickets anyway.
You give him to Neil?
Yeah,
is that
let's
okay
give him
to
Neil.
Bo?
Just for playing.
Can you want Neil
can
to have
Neil
the tickets
have your
anyway?
Tickets, please?
Even though he lost?
You get to go to
yes.
games with your dad. All
Look
right,
at
Neil.
You.
You're on the air with Bo Woods. If you want to congratulate him, go ahead, Neil. But he got you today.
Congratulations, Bo. Well done. You thanked
Thank
me.
You.
But just for playing, Neil, Bo's going to give you his tickets.
Look at that. You gave him your
to the Padres
Neil,
game
just hang on the line for
tomorrow.
So
for tomorrow
generous.
Night. So, Neil, hang on the line.
What a kid, man. What a kid he
What
is.
Really impressed so awesome. Me was the last one where he had to go two levels. Like, okay, now Blake Snell wore
Let's
what?
Four.
And then, okay,
yep.
who's wearing it this year? Oh, it's a rise. And he got it. And you could see the wheels turning.
Yep.
And then the light going off in his head as it happened.
It's so funny, too, because that was just last June. And his voice has changed so much in a short amount of time. Tears in my eyes listening to that.
Now he sounds
it.
Like this.
What up, Dad?
Sander Bogaerts.
Yeah, Sander Bogaerts. So sweet. So sweet.
I remember when my oldest and his voice actually changed.
It's so weird.
And, you know, he had his phone and he still had the old message, like with this, with the, you know, the kid voice.
Yeah.
And, but his real voice then sounds more like me now.
Yeah.
And I remember the day he switched it and I was like so sad. Like, oh,
it's
his childhood is gone.
It's heartbreaking. I mean, Taylor literally grew an inch like overnight one day. We like woke up and Hannah measured him out. She's like, hey, I think he grew an inch. I'm like, it's weird because you want them to, you know, you're like, all right, let's get older, start doing more stuff and whatever. But it's also like, nah, I kind of miss when you were a sweet little baby like that.
I just turned 34. Most of my friends right around
you grew
that
an inch
age.
That morning.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. But I've noticed, especially this time of year, getting holiday cards from friends who have now started like families and they have
crazy.
Kids. Like I got my buddy, he's got an 8-year-old daughter now, and I've known her whole life, obviously. But I've known her as the little
tiny
girl.
Hi, Paul.
And they sent us their holiday card this year. I got it a couple of days ago, and I looked at it, and I like almost started crying.
Yeah,
I'm like,
dude.
I can see like bone structure in her face. I'm
yes.
like, that looks like a young woman.
Young woman.
I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Bo also looks like a young woman.
When do we get bone structure in our face?
Paul, I've been waiting for bone structure for 49 years. I may have to pay for bone structure in my face, actually. It doesn't matter how much weight I lost. It just stayed.
But I saw that card. I go, oh, I'm getting to that age now where I'm like, oh, you've gotten so big since last time
it's
I saw
crazy,
you.
Crazy, man.
Oh, God,
crazy. Even his little boy, Xander Bogaerts. So cute.
All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll have another. We'll head into July for Ben and Woods Wrap tomorrow, Friday, as we wrap up the week. And then a second half of the year next week as we count down our final shows. Eno Saris. I don't know if he's still at the winter meetings, but he's been at the winter meetings, and we'll have his update, his smart baseball take on it, an off-season visit with Eno from The Athletic, coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Ah, finally, I got the call, like, Eno's ready to go, let's get going, and then, of course,
Black Betty
comes on, and I broke the rule already once.
Yeah, we had
you
7 years of bad luck.
You don't talk over Black Betty.
No, ever.
So let's just get now right to our friend Eno Saris from The Athletic, post Black Betty, as we wrap up the winter meetings, which officially wrap up today, although it's usually just people checking out of the hotels and heading back to their respective cities. Eno Saris, good morning. It is good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I'm burnt to a crisp.
As you always are at the end.
I wondered, man, like when Paulie goes, I heard back from Eno, I went, oh, yes. And then I went, oh man, it's probably the last thing I'd want to do is talk more baseball with a bunch of morons, but I can't tell you how much we appreciate it, dude. And I know
you're my favorite moron.
Thank you, man. You're our favorite. You're like our favorite guest too. So, how did it go out there? It certainly was no shortage of activity for, you know, the usual suspects in a lot of cases.
Yeah, it was taxing on the voice. Was potting, you know, through it all, and there was so much to talk about, and the late nights didn't help. But yeah, no, It was a lot of fun. I think that the Juan Soto deal happening on Sunday the way it did really unlocked the rest of the winter meetings. It was one of the more exciting winter meetings I can remember in recent history. Maybe not for Padres fans. There wasn't a ton of meat on that bone, but at least there was a lot of cool stuff happening nationally and a lot of movement. At least the haves, flex their muscles and sign some big deals.
After dead winter meetings last year, other than the Soto trade, what do you think is sparking this? Was it Scott Boras's failures last offseason and a change in strategy, or do you feel like it's just kind of the circumstances and the dominoes and how they happen to be falling this year?
Well, I definitely saw a lurch forward in, sort of nerdy, but the price of a win, it's like the price per production. It's not your imagination that the deals are bigger, they're spending more, and that means, if they're spending more per win, why? That's the big question that you're asking. It's like sort of about, I think, being fully free of COVID and in the middle of a CBA, in terms of financial strength, baseball has never had more fans and never had more money coming in. And, overall, and that's why I also said the haves. So the teams that have good TV deals and good situations, they feel like right now baseball's in a good spot. It's a good time to spend. So we're seeing inflation, and dollars per win are up to about maybe $12 million per win. It was like $9 million 2 or 3 years ago. So maybe it has less to do with inflation, generally, in the world. So for whatever reason, that's what's happening. But I also think there's an undercurrent of the have-nots being pretty quiet. The teams that are losing their local TV channels, they aren't necessarily the ones signing Max Fried and signing Juan Soto to these huge deals. So it may look like overall the sport is super healthy, but there are still some pockets of question marks about what's going to happen in a post-like RSN world. Like, what are we going to do once Bally's is gone or whatever, And I think maybe some teams are feeling like, well, MLB is going to run it. We've seen them do it in a couple places, and it works out okay.
So it feels like a little bit, talking to Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods, the teams that do have those big deals, the teams that do that are, flush with cash or can withstand the punches, are saying, yeah, great time to strike, while teams like the Padres are in a bit of a chokehold. Obviously we've made some noise the last few years, and good time to strike and then you got your usual teams like Seattle, like how they're not spending money on offense.
It
makes me insane. The one I wanted to ask you about, and I did a little mini rant on it earlier. I was watching MLB Network yesterday, and they're talking about, well, Kyle Tucker is going to be shipped from the Astros, and it breaks my brain, It breaks my brain. Houston is the fifth largest market, I think, in the country. They've won championships. Paulie had the idea. He said, so is this just their typical, we're just going to recycle back instead of giving him, $400 million or whatever? It doesn't make sense to me that a guy like Kyle Tucker is going to be moved with 1 year left to control.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a school of thought that you just don't like these long-term contracts because you get locked in. And to some extent, you're seeing some of that in San Diego, that's part of the reason we're here. So there's some owners that are just philosophically against it. There's a source saying right now that Mike Elias and, the Pitcher List have an article about this, that Mike Elias has the green light to spend and isn't doing so.
It's so frustrating.
What's happening in Houston is the same thing where, we'll do these mid-level deals, but we're not into the really long ones. And if we are not into the really long ones, maybe especially for Fromber, who's apparently on the block too, if we're not into long deals for pitchers, or we're not into these $400 million mega deals, then we need to trade them now to make sure we have something after next year. I kind of agree with you that it seems stupid. He's homegrown and produced by your
elite player,
So it's unfortunate. But that's, how some teams, I guess, think that they're going to be, perpetually successful. So, when you see it in San Diego and you see that downside, you understand. But, also San Diego's, you feel like it's getting better every year. The Padres are getting better every year,
yeah.
And
you know, they doesn't seem like they would do this. They obviously didn't, wouldn't. They locked up Tatis for a long time. So, maybe it's just a philosophical thing. I don't think it's necessarily financial in, like, they can't afford him next year or they can't afford that deal. It's more, you know, they don't think, you know, any player should be locked in for that much money for that long.
That's tough.
Talking to, you know, Sarah's from The Athletic, and, you know, the teams that can't spend a lot of money are looking for other ways to get creative, including the San Diego Padres. And A.J. Preller kind of floated the idea of converting some of the team's relievers into starters next year.
This is why we wanted you on.
One of the names that was mentioned was one Adrian Morejon, who had a really good season out of the Padres bullpen.
My adoptive son.
Yes. What do you think of maybe the potential experiment now to see how that works in the starting rotation going forward?
I mean, I think he has all the tools to do it. He's over time developed, you know, the two fastballs, the changeup to go with the breaking ball. It's a wide enough arsenal. He has enough stuff to, you know, deal with a loss of stuff. The only problem I think that anybody brings up, of course, is he's had a hard time staying healthy. But, you know, I wonder if I think there's some guys that, you know, it's easier to keep healthy on more of a 5-day strict schedule. Than necessarily, you know, you're out there now. So, I don't know. I think they should try it, and they're going to have to figure something out, especially the rumor that Dylan Cease is on the block is maybe a way to get under the luxury tax. And, you know, they don't necessarily have a lot of pieces they can trade that would save them money and also give them something back. You know, I think maybe Cronenworth is something they could discuss. I don't think they would get much back, but they could get the cost savings on him. They could trade Arias because it's a one-year deal, but I think AJ loves Arias, and you know, I think fans do too. So I don't think that's going to be the first choice.
Well, like anybody. Some fans do, some fans don't. Some fans don't get it, some fans do get it. Some fans, you know, I don't know. It's I don't want to get to the point again where – you know, we're rooting for financial flexibility like Red Sox fans have had to endure the last 5 years. They did go out and get their guy yesterday, who I love. I watched Garrett Crochet pitch last year. I understand that there are concerns. I understand that there are innings concerns, elbow concerns, whatever. Man.
But he, you know, he's unreal. Put together more innings.
Yes.
He also put together more innings than he ever had, more on his 5-day schedule rather than his reliever schedule. So. He's kind of an example of somebody that, you know, maybe you get more out of him if you, you know, really, have a nice schedule like that. And yeah, I think there's even more upside with Crochet in the future. He started throwing a sinker at the end of the season. And he has such a really good, you know, two-pitch pairing in the four-seam and cutter that, you know, the more pitches he can add, that's going to really give him longevity in the game.
He's nasty, man. Nasty. What did you think of the return? The return was obviously, again, you know, based on prospect rankings and everything else, I saw, you know, like you always see with every trade, oh my God, White Sox got fleeced. Oh my God, Red Sox got fleeced. Blah, blah, blah. It feels like a win for both teams. You know, the with the White Sox, I was reading what a scout said about one of the players, and he said, all you got to do is give this guy a bat and some cleats, and he's going to be fine. Doesn't matter if he goes to the White Sox, the Marlins, you know, whatever.
It might be an important part of it.
That's kind of what I thought, but they said, you know, one of the guys was can't miss. They really liked the catcher that they got back, Teal, I believe his name was. But, you know, for you, that's four top prospects, but they still didn't give away their best three prospects in Boston. So that anytime you can do that and get a pitcher like Crochet, that's what I look. A.J. Preller's been great at doing that.
Yeah. It did have sort of some of the makings of an A.J. Preller deal. You know, Braden Montgomery, maybe the prospect you're talking about,
that's the one.
I got to see him at Stanford for a couple years, and he was a big fan. My kids were a big fan of his, and just a really athletic guy that I think is, you know, maybe the, we don't know if he'll reach the ceiling, but the floor should be at least a regular. And that's important. They need players.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to get one of the top prospects, they should get guys that are closer to, to making it and being productive. So, you know, one of the things I'd heard was that, the Phillies had put forward a package that was headlined by a shortstop, and Justin Crawford, Justin Crawford is a really polarizing guy that some people think it's no way he's going to make it, and other people think he's going to grow into his body and be, you know, kind of a flat-tool guy. So the one thing that kind of caught my eye was that the headliner of this deal for Crochet is that if a catcher, you know, after they got a catcher for Giolito, maybe that doesn't matter. You know, you can never have too many catchers, but...
yeah, we barely have
if
any.
I had the choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You guys had none. I would, if I'd had the choice, though, I might have taken, if they were all equal, I would have taken a package head by a shortstop. You know, just yeah. they can either be the shortstop or elite right fielder or, you know, whatever.
As we know, yeah.
Always been like, let's have 10 shortstops and, you know, eventually we'll have none.
Last thing for me, you know, Roki Sasaki is no longer a hypothetical. He's coming, and based on what Joel Wolf said at the meetings this week, I am at least cautiously optimistic and excited that San Diego is definitely a place he could be coming to. What's your evaluation? I mean, we've heard the breathless takes on his stuff and his splitter and his velocity and his movement. What do your numbers kind of say about the kind of pitcher you think he's going to be wherever he does end up landing?
You know, if you look at a 3-year history of his strikeout minus walk rates, he'd be the best Japanese pitcher to come over at any moment. He'd be better than any of the ones that came before. The one thing is that's a 3-year snapshot. He took his stuff, maybe due to injury, took a downturn last year. That would push him all the way by strikeouts minus walks down to like second or third all time among Japanese pitchers. So he's still really good. It's just there are some question marks because he used to sit, you know, kind of, we saw him sit in the WBC, sit like 99 miles per hour, literally. And now he's sort of already down to maybe 97, 96 plus. Still pretty good below, but it does highlight some questions about his durability, his health, what his current state is. And maybe that is a little bit of a window to differentiate yourself as the Padres team away from the Dodgers, because right now the one sort of thing that doesn't work in LA is keeping their guys healthy. And if he sees that, then maybe that's an opportunity as well as his relationship with Yu Darvish. So.
Because we need someone to replace Joe Musgrove, who's hurt. So, perfect.
Yeah, but at least San Diego isn't like, oh, yes, we're the most hurt team.
No, that's true.
Correct.
That's true.
We have an entire rotation on the IL at all moments.
You know, maybe an IV, some fluids. Yes. Take care of yourself the next couple of days.
One of your famous sandwiches. Yeah. You know what to do.
Yeah, salt and water.
That's right.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Eno Saris from The Athletic on the tail end of the winter meetings. Feeling it, obviously, but appreciate him joining us. We'll wrap that up quickly after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. To Adrian Morejon's agent is Dan Lozano, but honestly, it could be Eno Saris.
100%. And let's be honest, probably should be.
It really,
I mean, I don't hear Dan Lozano on this radio station extolling the virtues of Adrian Morejon. I do hear Eno Saris.
On a weekly basis during the season.
And listen, if there's one guy I trust... I mean, honestly, like if I have a question on a player, that's the guy I go to. The guy knows everything about all these players, and he speaks it in such a way that even morons like us can understand it. And that's why I will always love Eno Saris.
Now, keep in mind, Adrian Morejon is in his final year of control. He's not expected to break the bank arbitration wise around $2 million, I believe. In fact, he already signed it. I think he's good to go.
Yeah.
But I think he's a free agent after 2025 as well. So if you convert him to a starter
and it works out really well,
guess what a left-hander who throws, you know, 97, 98 with great secondary pitches, who had a really good season starting, is going to cost on the open market next offseason, given the price tag we've seen some of the pitchers this year.
Yeah.
Could be the next Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
You know, that's the good and then the drawback of converting Adrian Morejon here.
Would have liked
you
that.
Might not be able to afford him. You want to extend him now.
You
before
would have liked that development to go a little quicker.
I mean, do you want to think about extending him now before you convert him into being a starter?
I think it's a thought.
If it works out, you have made a really savvy move in advance.
He's betting.
And if it doesn't, you're probably overpaying for a reliever for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and he tells you, no, I want to bet on myself. Okay, great. And if he says, no, I'll take the security of a, you know, $10 million a year deal for the next 5 years. All right, fine. See what we can get.
Yeah, he had his signing bonus money, which is pretty good if
yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, it was very
but
good.
not not rest of your life, like sort of stuff. So, you know, this he's looking for his big deal. They didn't even think of that part of the equation. All right, we'll come back. Rindle Report, Bill Belichick, a polarizing decision to go to North Carolina, and more coming up here on Ben and Woods.